If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Titus chapter 3. I want to finish up this letter that Paul wrote to Titus, and then we'll move to the table of remembrance. Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. Follow along, please, as I read. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you, those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Help us to see clearly what is here. Help us to not be hearers only, but determined that we will be doers, obedient to what you have for us today. Whether we can use it right now or whether we need to file it away for future challenge, may you speak to us through your word. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Final words of instruction to Titus. Not a quick review of all that Paul has said, but he is going to put a very heavy underline under something just as he finishes this letter. Because they are final words of instruction, we want to look beyond what simply seems to be, oh, by the way, and see what is actually being taught without stretching what is here at all. Maybe with a little bit of enlightening, but mostly just to let the Bible speak. So, three requests. The first one, here in verse 12, is come. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Now, when we started this book, Paul reminds Titus that, you know, I left you there on the island of Crete. You have the gifts, you have the ability, you have the authority of me, Paul, and Jesus Christ, being the greater, of course, but you have the authority to encourage the churches there, specifically in their identifying leaders. Whether it would be what we might call deacons or elders, or whether it would be pastor teachers, leaders for the churches, help them to make sure they make good choices. Well, as he's wrapping this letter up, apparently he's anticipating that as this letter gets there, two things. One, Titus, I think you've come to the end of your responsibilities there. By the time you get this, you will have done what I've asked you to do. And I need you to come to me. You need a break from what you've been tasked with, and I need your help. I need you to come to me at Nicopolis. Now, Nicopolis is a hard place to find. And there were many cities named Nicopolis because what it basically means is city of victory. So every time the Romans would have a battle or a skirmish. If it proved to be valuable, they won, and there seemed to be some great value in winning, they would name the city Nicopolis, City of Victory. Where it is, we don't know. Apparently, it's a convenient place to spend the winter. And Paul wants Titus to be there with him. But notice the two names that he uses before. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, come. We have no idea who Artemis is. This is the only place he's mentioned. Now, he has to be significant because he's someone that Paul may very well send to Crete to replace, even if for a short period of time, someone like Titus. So just because you and I don't know who he is, don't jump to the conclusion that he's nobody special, because clearly he is. Especially then when we tie him to Tychicus. Now, not a name that just flows off your tongue, but it is a name that you should remember. Now, maybe not specifically, but it's a name you know you've seen before in the New Testament. Because he's one of those fellows who was regularly with Paul. He went with Paul to Rome. He was not imprisoned with Paul, but he stayed in Rome while Paul was in prison to help. To minister to Paul, make sure he had everything he needed to get the things that Paul wanted taken to the other churches. He would do that. In fact, he's one of the men who took several of what we call the prison epistles to the churches that Paul wrote. When he wrote to the churches in Galatia, when he wrote to Ephesus, when he wrote to Philippi, when he wrote to Colossae, when he wrote to Philemon, when he wrote those, Tychicus was one of the guys that Paul trusted to deliver those letters. So, whether we know who Artemis is or not, we do have an idea of who Tychicus is, his abilities, and how he could fit in and, even if temporarily, do what Titus was doing. And just because we don't know him, Artemis was of the same tradition. So here are two men who we don't know a whole lot about, but men who spent a lot of time with Paul, who've grown in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, their love for his church, and want to be a part of encouraging that church. So here are two men that Paul can send to the island of Crete so that Titus can join him for the winter. So come and help. A couple more names. Diligently, verse 13, diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. Here we've got another problem. Have no idea who Zenas, the lawyer, is. Never heard of him before. Now, he's got a Greek name, which suggests that he would have been a Gentile. But remember, by this time, Paul's not going by his Hebrew name either. Paul's Hebrew name was Saul. Sometimes we tend to think of that as, you know, before Christ and after Christ. You know, when he was a pagan, he was referred to as Saul, and now that he's a Christian, he's referred to as Paul. No. His Hebrew name was Saul. But as he began to minister more and more in the Gentile community, he chose and was referred to as Paul, a Gentile name. So is that what's going on here? And the reason that might be significant is it would help us to understand what Paul is meaning or what reference this is to being a lawyer. If Zenas is a Jew, using a Gentile name, if he's a Jew, then lawyer could be a reference to his being a Pharisee, like Paul, in terms of his background and before Christ, knowing the law, the books of Moses, and Hebrew law, both civil and religious. Don't know. He could be a Gentile, and he could be an expert in Roman law. But this is what I know. He's traveling with a fellow by the name of Apollos, on behalf of the Apostle Paul. So he's a believer, whoever he is, and whatever kind of law he practices. Because I do know a little bit about this fellow named Apollos. Now again, a name I think I remember that in the New Testament somewhere, reading through perhaps the book of Acts, and maybe once or twice in the end of one or two of Paul's letters, the name pops up. That's right. He's a unique fellow. When we first meet him in the book of Acts, he's immediately introduced to us as a great teacher, a great preacher of the gospel and of the teachings of Jesus. Do you remember the names Priscilla and Aquila? A couple that God used in several of the churches, used their gifts to teach and to encourage the churches. Well, when they ran into Apollos, they heard his teaching and said, "Great stuff. This guy really knows his stuff. But you know, he only seems to be going so far." So after one of the services, they chat together and they find out that Apollos knows nothing of the Holy Spirit, but has been identified as one who only knows the baptism of John. So we have a fellow who was probably there through some of Jesus' teaching, maybe even his death and resurrection, maybe in the Jerusalem area, sees it all, believes it all, and is now teaching it all. But he wasn't around when the Holy Spirit came. And he doesn't know anything about that. So they teach him and they kind of bring him up to speed. And so now we've got a guy who knows the gospel backwards and forwards, knows that Jesus loves you, he died for you, he rose again to prove that he is who he says he is, and don't you want to accept him as your Savior? He can do that. But now he knows that, and in the process, by the way, if you can listen to this and accept all of this, it's because the Holy Spirit is drawing you and he will come in you and live within you. He's a guarantor of your salvation and he is the hands-on to make the changes in your life that are necessary so that you can become more and more like Christ. That's Apollos. He's also the fellow, you may remember, that Paul refers to in the book of Corinth. Remember how that church is splintered? There were those who followed this pastor and those who followed that pastor and followed the other pastor. Well, one of the men who served in Corinth and served very, very well was Apollos. And as can happen, well, I remember Pastor Apollos, and I remember what he said and what he did and how he did it, and I really liked it, and if you don't do it that way, I don't like it. And so they were kind of the Apollos group. And you remember what Paul said. He didn't take anything away from Apollos. But he said, you know, guys, it's just this simple. God uses a variety of men. Some to plant, some to water, some to cultivate. But all to bring about his purpose. And Apollos was one of those key men in the church of Corinth that God used. Now, some had abused his memory, certainly, but that doesn't take away from his faithful service there in the church at Corinth. That's Apollos. Now, is Zenos just like him? Probably not. No more than Artemis is just like Tychicus. But as Paul thinks of these two men, he says, I want you to care for them. And look at what he asks. He says, diligently help on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. You're going to see these two guys, probably, Titus. Now, I don't know this, but maybe that's because they're taking this letter. They may be the ones delivering. They've maybe stopped, spent some time with the Apostle Paul, and are now going to take this letter. And he's saying, now when they get there, you're not the end of their trip. Help them on their way. Help them in their efforts. Maybe they've got other letters to deliver. Maybe they have other churches to visit for whatever reason. But when they get to you, Titus, encourage them. Make sure they have everything they need to continue their ministry. Because while you're coming and as they are helping, and here's this big underline to this letter, verse 14, be fruitful. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. Jesus used parables. Paul's used illustrations. James will make the point when we get there that those who are truly a part of the family of God, those who are truly saved, those who have been truly saved, will evidence that salvation. There will be a difference. There will be a uniqueness. There will be proof. There will be fruit showing that they are who they say they are. We had a challenge in our home this year in the garden. I am absolutely sure I bought a plant that said it was cherry tomatoes. And I planted that plant of cherry tomatoes, fully expecting cherry tomatoes. You know what? And Marilyn and I disagree on how this happened. But you know what? They lied. And I know they lied. Because it had the nicest Roma tomatoes on it. Now, Roma tomatoes are fine. But when you got your heart set on cherry tomatoes, they're no. But you get the point, don't you? You can call yourself a cherry tomato all you want to, but if all you're producing is Romas, nobody's going to believe you're a cherry tomato. You can call yourself a Christian all you want, but if you don't act like one, nobody's going to believe that. So Paul says, our people need to be producing fruit that is evidence of who they are. And we're not talking about a legalistic list here. They don't do this, they don't do that. No, we're talking about stuff like loving one another, loving God, loving one another, loving to be together with one another, finding out what the needs are and meeting those needs. So when believers come through, clearly representing the church, and we have an opportunity to help them on their way, do it. Because it's family helping family, and that's what this is supposed to be about. There should be fruit, there should be evidence. The conclusion seems rather automatic. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Probably could finish almost any letter that way, but don't miss this last phrase. Grace be with you all. Because again, he's wanting to remind them, grace works. God's grace works. God's grace evidences itself in the life of the believer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to encourage us and challenge us. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for men like Titus, Artemis, Tychicus, Zenas, Apollos, and all those unnamed men and women who are working that we don't know and won't know until we all get together. In some cases, finally able to put faces to names, and in other cases, identify people who were working in ways that we never knew. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.